Today we're going to continue our series we started on Easter called Unbroken. We looked at the life of Louis Zamperini, a World War II prisoner of war hero who survived over 45 days out on a raft as a plane crashed on a search and rescue mission in the ocean, only to be picked up by the Japanese to put him in a war camp, and he spent many days and months there in as a prisoner of war, mistreated, abused. And we looked at that through Easter and how Christ suffered for us and how Louis was not unbroken there. They tried to break his will and tried to break his spirit. And we've seen the same thing where Satan tried to break the will of the Father. He was unable to break. The bird, the prisoner of war captain there who overseen that war camp, he tried to break the spirit, the will of Louis, was not able to do that through Louis's life. But we see where Satan tried to do the same thing with the Father's will. He tried to break the will of the Father, but he was unable to break him. I love the fact that he became unbroken. Our Savior was unbroken for us, so that we who are broken can be made whole. Last week we talked about forgiveness and how Louis was able to go back and God changed his life dramatically. He was able to go back and forgive the prison guards and show forgiveness of those who had misused him and abused him over the years. And how he jumped out of that isolation and booth and began to go right into the act of forgiveness. Now, many of you that touched the heart of who you were, because I got a lot of emails and a lot of messages and texts from many of you this week saying, "Man, Pastor, I hit me right where I was at. There's some people in my life I need to forgive." And that message was just for me. I know that touched a lot of people last week as you're starting that process of learning to forgive. Now, today I want to talk about dealing with your guilt. Dealing with your guilt. You know, Louis talked a lot about when he went back from America, when he went back to America after being a prisoner of war, that he suffered not only from post-traumatic stress, but he also suffered from a lot of guilt. A guilt of, why did I survive the plane crash? Why did I survive those days out on the raft? Why did I survive the prison camp when so many of my fellow soldiers and friends didn't survive? And so he had a lot of guilt. Then he had a lot of guilt over his post-traumatic stress was causing him to become an alcoholic, and he mistreated his family and the people he loved. So he was struggling with a lot of guilt in his life. Many of us here, guilt really, really rides us. I just returned this week. I was gone. I left Monday morning early. Went to Colombia, not Columbia, Missouri, but the country of Colombia. And I traveled there, was there Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday ministering there, and then came back Friday. It was a long trip going through customs and flying there. It's a long trip. I don't do well on long trips. I'm kind of an impatient guy. And to make things worse, my TV was broken on the way out there. And so I know, isn't that bad? I actually had to go the whole way without having, everybody else had free movies and shows, and I didn't. And so anyway, I know you feel sorry for me. But anyway, I survived. But I don't do well on long trips. And you know, but you know what the longest trip really is? The longest trip is not anywhere you can fly around the world. The longest trip is not anywhere you can drive. The longest trip you'll ever go on in your life is the guilt trip, right? Come on, let's be real. The guilt trip is a long trip. And when you ride that bus on the guilt trip, man, you are on that thing. It becomes a long, weary, hard trip in your life. But God has never designed for you and I to live our life on the guilt trip. We are making a mockery. We are not walking in the freedom that comes through the power of the cross and forgiveness that He gave in our life. When we walk around carrying guilt. I made this statement last week. I believe it's one of the most strongest statements I've ever given in 20 years of ministry. I believe it to be so true. Let's look at it again. God is never more revealed in your life than when you forgive someone who doesn't deserve it. Isn't that so true? God is never more reflected in our life, becomes real in our life when we can learn to give forgiveness away to somebody who doesn't even deserve it. Because that's what Jesus did for us on the cross. When they mocked him, when they nailed him to the cross, when they pushed the crown of thorns upon his head, when they stripped the flesh off of his back, when they stripped his clothes, when they blasphemed him, when they spit in his face, when they abused him, what was his reaction? Father, forgive them. They don't understand what they're doing. That is true forgiveness. And for order for us to be able to give away forgiveness to people who have never asked for forgiveness, people who don't deserve forgiveness, in order for you to be able to forgive those kind of people in your life, you got to experience that forgiveness first. You got to walk in that kind of grace first. You got to have a revelation of God's grace, and you got to have an understanding. You can never walk in that kind of forgiveness when you're walking around carrying guilt. And this is why guilt is such a big thing in our life, and I want to talk to you about how to deal with it, because guilt really weighs us down. Psalms 38:4 says it like this: my guilt has overwhelmed me. Anybody here feel this? Like a burden too heavy to bear. My guilt is heavy. Let me tell you, guilt is heavy. And the enemy will always try to throw guilt upon your life and in your mind. This is his way of weighing you down. And every time he does that, when he can get you and I feeling guilty, just as we talked about last week, how unforgiveness puts us right back into the isolation cell that we were free from, so does guilt. Guilt throws me right back here, unable to fulfill my God-given destiny, God's fullest desires in my life. I can't fulfill it when I'm burdened down by guilt, because guilt builds walls around me. Unforgiveness builds walls around me. And guilt does the same thing. It becomes a heavy burden for me to bear. Guilt has the same effect on us. It throws us right back. Look what Psalms 32:1 says. What happiness. Turn to your neighbor and say, because I'm happy. Happy. I want to be happy. Because what happiness it is for those whose guilt has been forgiven. What joys when sins are covered over. What relief we experience for those who have confessed their sins to God and he has cleared their record. This is what he did on the cross. He cleared my record. On the cross, he says, I take the guilty and I take the blame. I take the punishment. I take their guilt. I take their sin. I take it when they blew it. I took it when they misused somebody. I take it when they were wrong. I take all the sin, all the guilt, and I take it upon the cross. And now you and I have been sentenced, cleared, free, clean through our relationship with Jesus Christ. What happened on the cross? And so he took our guilt. And he says, I'm casting it away as far as the east is from the west. That's an important statement. Why didn't he say as far as the north is from the south? You ever thought about that? Why did he pick the east from the west? Because even though Jesus knew about how far the east is from the west, and people's minds and comprehension, they could comprehend north and south, but they had no idea at that time how far the east was from the west. As far as they were concerned, once you go east, you always go east. And it never ends. And once you go west, you always go west. It never ends. That was their comprehension of space. But they were standing south, due south, and they could look up to due north. But east is from the west. That was almost uncomprehendable about how far that space was. So when Jesus was saying that, he was saying, you can't even comprehend how great my love is for you. You can't even understand how far I have separated you from the sin. How far I have separated you from the guilt of your mistakes and sin. And so we know this, but we have a hard time with it. So let's talk about how we handle it. First of all, this is the wrong way we handle it, but it's how you and I naturally handle things when it comes to guilt. How do we handle our guilt? Number one, we always bury the mistake, right? We pretend it doesn't happen. We don't want to deal with it. We're really good about doing this, right, guys? Especially the men in the house. We're really good about just sweeping our mistakes under the rug and not dealing with it. It's easier that way. We don't want to talk about our feelings. It's easier that way. We especially don't want to talk about when we've blown it. It's easier that way. We bury our mistakes. We don't deal with them. But look what Proverbs says in 28, verse 13. A man who refuses to what? Admit his mistakes can never be successful. But if he confesses and forsakes them, he gets another chance. We've got to stop burying our mistakes, pretending like they never happened. Just simply confess them. Admit them. This is important. We got to learn to admit our mistakes. It's a hard thing for us, isn't it? I can tell you, I've struggled with this before in my life. And I can tell you, it's been a work of 20 years my wife is teaching me. I'm not very good at this. Sometimes I can have great moments and surprise everybody. But for the most part, I'm not very good at admitting my mistakes. Don't act like you are as well. Because some of you just lied just now. You can't even admit that you had the same problems as I do.
That's not talking to me.
Let's be real. We struggle with admitting our mistakes. Pride, fear of looking bad. But when you bury your mistakes and you don't admit it, what happens is that guilt is there. And the very thing you tried to bury is the very thing Satan attacks every day in your life. He thinks he's hiding it, but you're not hiding it. God knows it's there. Satan knows it's there. And he's going to use that against you. I see what you're trying to hide. I see. See, you're not good enough. Nope. You're not. We bury our mistakes. We're in trouble. And the second thing we try to do is we try to bury other people. Right? It's everybody else's fault. Psalms 19:3 says it like this. Some people ruin themselves by their own, what? Stupid actions. And then they blame the Lord. God, why did you get me in this mess? God, why did you get... I don't think the Lord charged anything on your charge card. But yet all of a sudden we want to blame God for all of our debt. God, why did you get me in all of this debt? God, why did you allow my marriage to ruin, but yet you spent years and months and weeks and time ignoring each other's needs, never working on advancing and getting better in your marriage, and then we wonder why our marriage is falling apart. God! No, we got to quit blaming everybody else. But you're in good company. Remember what happened to the first couple? Adam and Eve. When they got caught in their sin, what did they do? Adam said, well, God, this woman you gave me, I didn't ask for a woman. You're the one that says better off of me not to be alone. I was fine out here playing with the animals and eating of the fruit of the tree. And you're the one that put me in the deep sleep. You're the one that decided to take my rib and make a woman. It's her fault. And it's your fault. Surely not my fault. Eve, what do you have to say? It wasn't my fault. The devil made me do it. He made me. We're really good at passing blame. It was done in the first couple. It's been going on. The blame game has been happening and happening ever since. Everyone knows how it's everybody else's fault, and we never are at fault. I tell people all the time when they come to me and say, I want my marriage to change. We were having some hard times, and I always say that you can't change your spouse, but you can only change yourself. I can't make them change, but I can control how I change. I can't control your response, but I can control my response. I can't make you change, but I can begin to grow and change as a person. I've got to take my responsibility for the mistakes I've made and work on changing me and quit blaming everybody else for the way I am. Quit blaming somebody else because something happened to you in 1991 and it's still their fault why I'm stuck where I'm at. No, at some point, you've chosen to hang on. At some point, you've chosen to stay stuck 25 years ago. You got to take responsibility for your part and say, you know what? All right. Guilt is here and I blame everybody else. So I ask you this question today. Who are you blaming for your unhappiness? Who are you blaming for your guilty conscience today? And the third thing we do that's wrong is we bury ourselves. We're really good at this, aren't we? We blame ourselves. Psalms 38, 4 and 6 says, my guilt has overwhelmed me like a load. It weighs me down because I was foolish. And we live our life, living our life, letting guilt weigh us down. We know what Jesus did on the cross. We kneel our knee to Him. We give our life. See, Jesus, I accept You as my Lord and Savior. I believe You died for the sins of the world. I believe and I accept Your forgiveness in my life. I accept Your grace. And we get up and we leave there having accepted Christ and the work of the cross, but then we pick up our guilt and walk away. Why am I walking so heavy? I thought this Christian walk was going to be such a lighter load. Pastor said I would be free, but yet I'm walking around feeling guilty all the time. See, the guilt, the power of guilt was defeated at the cross. I've just got to stop picking it up and bury myself. I have been redeemed. I have been forgiven. My sin has been forgiven, deleted, wiped away, never to be brought up again. That's the power of forgiveness that we receive through grace. And I've got to choose not to pick it up every day and carry it around with me. Oh, God can never use me. Yeah, I'm a Christian, but God can never use me. Look at this mistake I made. We carry around the scarlet letter with us for the rest of our life. Oh, poor me. God, you want to use me? I can tell you this. I have this thought all the time. If I'm not careful, God, how can you use me? God, you want to use... I think, God, these people are going to wake up one day and realize their pastor's really not that good. And you have the same thing. You know, God, you want to use me, but I've blown it so much and my life, I've made so many mistakes and feel guilty and bury ourselves. That's the trick of the enemy. Listen, guilt never does anything. I was raised in a guilt church. Some of you are laughing because you know, you think, did you go to my church growing up too? You know, everything was motivated by guilt. Hey, you know, you going to turn and burn, baby, you know, and everything was motivated out of guilt. But the only thing is, guilt never leads to true change. It doesn't. Guilt may get an emotion out of you and it may get a response out of you, but the only way that true change happens is when you experience forgiveness, when you experience God's love, when you get a revelation of how much God really loves you. When you get a revelation of how much He has really given His life for you. When you get a revelation of how much He has really set me free of my sin. It makes me respond in a way that says, God, I will give my life for Your call. God, I will go all in. God, I will serve You no matter what the cost. God, I want to please You. God, I want to live my life for You. It's motivated out of love. Try guilting your spouse into change and see what happens. It's not going to happen, is it? You tried it. You say it doesn't work. I know that. Try guilting your children into change. You may get a quick change for a little bit, but it never lasts. True change happens through the revelation of love. It happens through love. We bury ourselves. So how should we handle our guilt? This is the correct way to handle it. First of all, we just simply got to admit it. Simply admit it. Psalms 32:5, look what it says. Finally. I think that was for you and I. Finally, I confessed all of my sins to You and stopped trying to hide. My what? My sin? No. He says, finally I confessed all my sins and I stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord and You forgave me. And then what happens when I confess to God? All my guilt is gone. Now let me say this to you. Jesus has forgiven you of all your sins when you accept Him and ask Him into your life. When you say, God, I accept You as my Lord and Savior. My sins are forgiven. But there still comes a time when you have to say, God, I really blew it. There comes a time when you say, you know what, I'm struggling with guilt because I really blew it big in my life. And I just dare you, if you've never confessed your sin to the Lord, just to see what happens. He already knows it. He's already paid the price of forgiveness. But there's something that freeing that says, God, I just confessed that, man, I really blew it. I really disappointed my family. I really disappointed myself. I really did some major things. I'm just not proud of in my life. And God, I'm a sinner saved by your grace. I've blown it. I'm telling you, it sets you free. All of a sudden you realize, yeah, and God says, yeah, and I loved you anyway. Yes, and I still died for your sins anyway. And you get a revelation of his grace and love, and it begins to set you free of that guilt. You can't live your life hanging on to this guilt. I told you this a while back. I want to share this with you again. It's a great formula helping you get over guilt. Just confess it. Say, I did it. I admit it. I quit it. So forget it. Let's say it out loud. Say, I did it. I admit it. I quit it. So forget it. All together. I did it. I admit it. I quit it. So forget it. One more time loud. I did it. I admit it. I quit it. So quit picking up that guilt for the thing that Jesus died for. Quit picking up that guilt in your life every day. No, experience the freedom of the cross. Proverbs 20:27 says, the Lord gave us a mind and a conscience. We can't hide from ourselves. You can hide from me. And you can hide from the person sitting next to you. But you can't hide from yourself. And guilt will follow you all the days of your life if you don't learn just to simply confess it to God, admit it, quit it, say, God, I give it to you. I'm over it. I'm letting it go. I'm going to walk in your love. I'm going to walk in your grace. The second thing, how do we handle it correctly as we accept God's forgiveness? Scripture is full of our sin being deleted, our sins being covered by the blood of Jesus, never to come back to us. We see this time and time again, but I believe there's no other story that really shows how much that God helps us accept forgiveness than the story of Judas and Peter. Both men were disciples. Both men portrayed the Lord. Remember, Judas sold him for the silver, betrayed him. And Peter denied him 3 times. And both men denied Christ the night of his death. And you know what? I really truly believe that Judas really didn't have an idea of what he was doing. And what I mean by this, I don't believe he understood the fullness of what he was doing. I don't believe he thought that they were actually going to crucify Jesus. I believe he thought, you know what? I've seen this man walk on the water. I've seen him appear out of nowhere. If they come to get him and put him in jail, he'll just, boom, walk through the walls and disappear. They're not going to hold him down. This is a quick way for me to make some easy money, and Jesus will get out of this really fast. This is no big deal from him. I truly believe that he didn't understand the fullness of what he was doing. But the guilt afterwards was so overwhelming for him. He couldn't live with this guilt. Scripture says he went and he hung himself because of guilt, shame. And Peter, he denies him 3 times. I don't know who he is. Get away from me. I never knew this man. I don't know who he is. In Jesus' last hours, he denied even knowing him. The guilt came upon Peter. Peter goes and retreats to hiding, leaving himself from the disciples. He realizes right away, I'm no longer called to be a disciple. I surely, too much guilt here. God could never use me again, even if he wanted to. But isn't it amazing that after the resurrection, that when Jesus appeared to the women, what did he say? He said, go tell my disciples I'm alive. Tell them I want to meet with them. Tell them I'm alive. I'm risen. Tell them I want to meet with them. And then what else does he say? He says, and tell Peter. Tell Pete, because he's struggling with guilt. You tell him I want to meet with him too. You tell Peter I'm still thinking of him. He's still apart. I mean, he addresses right after his resurrection. He addresses the guilt. And you don't have to agree with me, but this is just my opinion. And you're welcome to disagree if you want. But I believe If Judas had still been alive, he'd have said the same thing to Judas. I believe he said, you tell Judas, come here. I want to meet with him as well. Tell Judas, he's welcome back in as well. I believe that he would have spoke the same thing to Judas if Judas had not killed himself. Because guilt will put you right back here. Guilt puts me right here. But Jesus came. He said, Pete, come out there. Don't fall there. We go right here. Go, I'm so guilty. He says, get out of there. Come here. What's the first thing he says to Pete when he shows up on the beach and meets with Pete? Do you love me? And he looks him in the eyes. Lord, you know I love you. Then get busy. Feed my sheep. And he asks him again. And he asks him again. Same thing. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. What was he doing? He was speaking right to the guilty, saying, you're not disqualified. I died for the sins you've committed. I have given you my grace. Get back into the thing. Quit carrying this guilt around and get back to feeding my sheep. Wow, powerful testimony. It's one thing for Jesus to say, Father, forgive them from the cross. It's another thing for him to live it and come face to face and say, this is what I taught, and this is what I'm showing through my actions. I speak to the guilty, and I say, you are forgiven. Get up. Do your thing, what I've called you to do. Quit living in the isolation of guilt. You know, we have a hard time accepting forgiveness from God. Sometimes we think our message is too big, don't we? We think our message is way too messy. I've shared this illustration before, and I think it really fits right here. It's the illustration of anybody ever had kids, preschoolers, get sick at night? Yeah, if you've had kids, you've experienced that. It's the sound every parent loves to hear about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Mom! Ah! Ah! And you hear your kid sick, throwing up in their room. And before you ever get there, you know what you're about to walk into, don't you? You can already smell the stench. You're gonna. My wife is like, "Honey, can you put? Honey, you're gonna have to. You're gonna have to handle this one. I can't." So I do what any parent would do. I walk in there and say, "You're 4 years old. I can't believe you threw up in your bed when you were sick at night. And you made a mess all over your room. You are grounded for the rest of your life. You should have got up and you knew you were sick. You knew you was going to throw up. You should have threw up in the toilet or the trash can. I can't believe you threw up all over your bed and all over your walls and all over the clothes and all over the blankets." Do you think I did that? No. If that was your kid, I would have done that. But because it was my kid, I walked through the most disgusting, foul odor you can ever imagine. Walked through chunks of things we don't even want to imagine in this room this morning. I pick them up in my hands, carry them to the bathtub, strip them down, I bathe them, shower them, put that good smelly stuff on them, take them, put them in my side of the bed, let them sleep with their mom while I spend the next hour in their room cleaning up that mess, changing their sheets, washing their blankets, getting the carpet cleaner out, cleaning and bleaching everything down. Why? Because there's no mess my kids can make that won't stop me from cleaning it up. I can't do it. Why? Because my love for my children is that great. And this is the love for us when he said, Father, forgive them. They don't understand. There's no mess that you and I can make that he won't forgive us. There's nothing that we've done to disappoint him that he won't forgive us. There's nothing. So quit carrying that guilt around for what's already been taken care of on the cross. Don't expect him to climb back up on the cross again. He's already done it. He's already died for our sins. He's already come to set us free from our guilt. So when you leave, don't walk out of this room today saying, I'm picking back up my guilt again. No, God intended for you to walk out of here saying, God, thank you that my guilt is gone. Thank you that my sins have been forgiven. Thank you, God, that you have forgiven me. And the way you deal with this, you simply learn to forgive yourself. Number three, learning to forgive yourself. We can forgive other people quicker than we can forgive ourselves, can't we? Yeah, somebody else asks you to forgive them. All right, I accept your apology. And you work through it. You process it. And you forgive them most of the time. But with the hardest person to forgive most of the time is forgiving ourselves. This is where we really struggle, forgiving ourselves. Isaiah 43:18 says it like this in verse 19. The Lord says, do not cling to the events of the past or dwell on what happened a long time ago. But watch for the what? The new thing. The what? The new thing. Let's say it again. Watch for the new thing I'm going to do. Listen, you can never walk in the new thing that God's got for your life when you're hanging on to the guilt of the past. God, when are you going to open a new door for me? God, when are you going to do something new in my marriage? God, when are you going to do something new in my family? God, when are you going to do something new in my life? When I quit hanging on to the guilt of the past and say, God, I'm moving forward in your grace. I'm accepting what you've done on the cross in my life, and I'm going to walk and allow you to start doing something new in my life. This is important in our life. Look at this last statement I want to give you. Because forgiven people forgive people. Forgiven people forgive people. I'm going to ask the musicians to come this morning. You know, it's easy to say, forgive your neighbor. Forgive those who have done wrong against you. But you'll never truly give away forgiveness until you've experienced it fully in your life. God, thank you that you've forgiven me of my guilt, my shame, and my sin. By your grace, you've set me free. I've experienced it, and now I can give it away to somebody who doesn't deserve it because you did the same for me. Today, not only does God want you to forgive, but he wants you to also learn to forgive yourself and let go of that guilt. Release it to him. I want to ask you to bow your heads today. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, first of all, you say, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And today, I want to accept Jesus. I've never accepted him. Today, I realize he died for me. Today, I realize he came to set me free. Today, I want to give my life to him. Nobody's looking but me. We won't do anything to embarrass you. But I want to ask you right now, if that's you, can you just raise your hands? That's me. I want to accept Jesus Christ. Thank you. Anybody else today? You want to join them? Thank you. One last time, if you haven't raised your hand, raise it right now. Say, that's me, Pastor. I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. This grace you're talking about, I'm ready to accept. If you haven't raised it, raise it right now. Thank you. Thank you. We have those who raised their hands, so I'm going to invite you to say this out loud after me. And as Christians, we're going to say it along with you out loud as well. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you all of my heart. I give you all of my life. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son, who died for me, who died for my sins. From this moment forward, I will live my life for you. In Jesus' name, amen. You prayed that prayer for the first time today. We say, welcome to the family of God. Amen. Come on, give me a hand clap. Important decision. Most important decision in your life today. Before you leave today, if you raise your hand, I want to invite you to stop by the back and receive a free Bible. This is our gift to you. And inside that Bible, it's got some information on what you need to do next and decision you made today. And you get plugged into a church family. If you don't have one, we'd love to have you here and support you. How many today? I'm not even going to ask you to bow your heads because I already know the response. If you're going to anything like the first service, how many today would just simply say this, Pastor, I deal with a lot of guilt in my life. I want to be honest. I still suffer with a lot of guilt. Anybody here want to raise your hand, be honest? Yeah. Yeah. We all do. It's a Satan's tricks. This is his schemes he uses against us. Try to make us feel guilty. I'm hoping today you realize how the proper way to deal with your guilt and have an insight that God has come to set you free from your guilt and the burden. So in return, you can help set other people free through releasing them in forgiveness. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet today. I want you to simply do this. Say, God, I'm raising my hands to you. And I want you to picture in your mind you giving over the guilt to him. Just want to say, God, I open up and I give you all of my guilt. God, I give everything to you. I'm placing in your hands the heavy burden of my guilt, my mistakes, where I've blown it, disappointments, God. I give it to you, God. I can't turn over the guilt to you today. I don't want to carry it any longer. But God, I'm thankful for what's happened on the cross, that I can walk in freedom. I can walk, Lord, with my guilt removed. Removed from me. Removed from me. I confess it. And God, say, God, carry it now. I give it to you. Come on, make it personal. Say, God, I give you all of my guilt today. Forever, Lord, we give you. Come on, let's sing it to him. Make it personal. Thank you for your freedom today, God. We thank you, Lord, that you have made us free. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. Come on. Put your hands together. Shout out to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. You have removed our guilt, our shame, our sin. We thank you, Father. We give you praise. And we say amen and amen. Now listen to me. When you leave today, I want to remind you of a couple things. Don't forget to stop by and see the vets if you'd like to pick up their newsletter or sign up for how to support them, as well as sign up for one of the classes or the baptism, water baptism. Let us know you want to be a part of that. We would greatly appreciate it. Hey, find a live group tonight. Get plugged in. God bless you. Have a great afternoon.